I'm Brady Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place for all to prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. All right, let's jump into week three of Washington State's legislative session in a tiny little package. Bills are starting to make it out of their respective committees in Olympia, which is the path toward a vote on the floor and then ultimately being sent to the other chamber, with the final destination, of course, being the governor's desk. Two bills that made it out of committee on the House side this week were House Bill 1296 and House Bill 1380. Let's start with House Bill 1296. House Bill 1296 amends the Parental Rights Initiative that was signed into law by the legislature last year. The intent of the initiative, which is law currently, is to make sure that parents are more informed about what's happening with their kids at school when it comes to medical issues, mental health issues, issues related to gender dysphoria. But Democrats in Olympia want to unwind certain aspects of the Parental Bill of Rights.
Students have a right under this bill to a safe and supportive environment where they can learn and thrive. They have a right to a school environment without discrimination, bullying, and other adverse responses to how they may arrive in our school setting. So any student, be they of any gender, be they of speaking any language, be they of any levels of need in support of their academics, have a right to this environment. Professionals have a right to uphold that right of students. And professional educators have a right to continue their obligation to partner with and involve parents in that process. This bill is student-centered for a reason. Our students will thrive if they feel that they belong, if they are challenged, and if they are supported. This bill intends to do that. Please vote yes.
The vast majority of parents in my district will see this policy as a complete reversal of everything they were just promised. Enrollment was increasing across the district, and the focus throughout the district was directed to recovery from the COVID learning loss. We belong was a slogan on t-shirts everywhere. This bill will plunge my district, the staff, and the school board into months of debate and distraction. This bill will be the last straw for too many parents in my district and too many other districts around our great state. Please do not pass this bill.
House Bill 1296 did pass out of committee on party lines, but not before State Representative Travis Couture, a Republican, tried to introduce this amendment.
The underlying bill essentially states that schools can wait 48 hours before they tell parents if their children were involved in any kind of criminal action or if there was any sexual misconduct of staff. We have seen a stunning amount of sexual misconduct and sexual assaults by educators in our schools just in the last year itself, including two principals in a Vancouver school district that hid from parents a rape, a statutory rape of a 16-year-old female student in their school by one of their staff. Now, as a parent myself, I would be disgusted and sickened to know if my kids had some kind of sexual abuse put upon them by staff, and I wasn't notified immediately of those things. Now, this happened actually in my kid's school district, where an eighth grade school teacher was grooming and having inappropriate sexual relationships with eighth grade boys. This is all too much commonplace, and parents deserve to know right away whenever there is any kind of criminal activity or sexual abuse or sexual allegations of staff that goes along with the safety of their children. For God's sake, please vote yes.
So in a nutshell, the amendment that he put forth would have required schools to notify parents immediately, that's the word, immediately, if their child was accusing, for example, a school employee of sexual misconduct. All Democrats on the committee voted against the amendment.
As a school counselor, one of the first things we're trained is how to deal with these situations, and it's very clear that we take direction from law enforcement and from the Department of Children and Family Services whenever there's a crime that has taken place, and that we must adhere and give them the time to do the investigation so that justice can be served. Our role in the schools to support the child and support the parents. Their role is to do the criminal investigation, and we cannot in any way impede that. And so in the for justice sake, we are told to take the direction from them, and that is what we do, and that is what we train our staff to do. And so I'm going to urge a no vote.
Thank you. Are there further remarks? Seeing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please indicate by saying nay.
Nay.
Amendment fails.
So as 1296 moves out of its House committee, remember, there is also a matching bill over on the Senate side. That bill is Senate Bill 5181, if you want to track both of them together. Another bill to make it out of committee is House Bill 1380, which was voted out of, again, along partisan lines, voted out of the House Housing Committee. It would implement certain protections for homeless people. Specifically, it says that cities and counties would have to have objectively reasonable standards when it comes to regulating where people can set up a tent or a homeless encampment. If cities or counties sweep a homeless encampment, a homeless individual can sue the city or county if they believe that the sweep was not objectively reasonable.
What's not happening is we're not moving the ball fast enough, and people are still being forced to exist in public spaces. And so I know that this is a difficult conversation, and I know that asking cities to consider what we all know is in practice every day by our law enforcement, objectively reasonable, is something that every single officer uses in every single moment that they are protecting our communities.
Republicans on the House Housing Committee feared that that standard is too vague and could lead to a bunch of lawsuits.
If you go out of this building within a mile or two, you can find quite a few homeless encampments. And you can also find in the same area housing that we've paid for with the Housing Trust Fund money. And so we are not trying to stop solutions to this problem. But we are seeing some angst about this bill, and for good reason. Pierce County mayors, for instance, Fircrest, Lakewood, Puyallup, Bonnie Lake, are concerned because I know in my city, we've spent millions, literally millions of dollars defending against litigation in Puyallup. And we could have spent that money helping homeless individuals, but we did not. And also, the cities of Normandy Park, Berrien, Renton, Des Moines, some of them further up the freeway, have weighed in against this bill. And part of it might be because of the objectively reasonable standard that we have in this bill. Some cities are saying they think this is vague, they think this is going to cause litigation, and they're worried about the private cause of action where people can sue if they've been told, no, you can't camp here.
For their part, Democrats on the committee say the bill is necessary so that cities and counties across the state don't have a patchwork of enforcement when it comes to homeless encampments. They also say it could prevent cities and counties from taking such enforcements too far.
I think what I see here is we're looking to do the right thing, and there maybe need to be more education for our cities and mayors to appreciate that this is a tool that they can use. It also, I think, strikes a balance as far as making sure that our unhoused residents are protected against unreasonable enforcement of ordinances.
A couple other bills to get hearings this week, but they haven't quite made it out of committee. House Bill 1125 expands judicial discretion. It allows judges to essentially end long prison sentences early in the, quote, interest of justice. Critics of the bill have said that it would give no finality for victims of crime and that judges might abuse their discretion. A bill on vaccines got a hearing in the House Healthcare and Wellness Committee this morning. House Bill 1531 says it is an act relating to preserving the ability of public officials to address communicable diseases using scientifically proven measures to control the spread of such diseases.
House Bill 1531 declares that it is the policy of the state that public health responses to communicable diseases be guided by the best available science on the safety and efficacy of evidence-based measures, including immunizations and vaccinations. The bill then requires the state and local officials to implement and promote such measures. And finally, the bill prohibits the enactment of contrary statutes, ordinances, rules, or policies, and declares any such measures to be null and void.
That has been week 3 of Politics Unpacked. I'm Brandi Cruz. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by Future 42, making Washington a place for all to prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. And in the meantime, join us 4 days a week for our live show, Undivided, where we give context and have important conversations about what's happening in Washington State and beyond. UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com.